Hallelujah. Would you grab your swords this evening and grab them? Go to the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go ahead, slap your neighbor and tell him this is your night. Learn or burn. If you don't learn, you get burned, right? In verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Would you read it with me? Now the Spirit what? Expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Listen, these deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons are called Antichrist spirits. And now you might call every demon an Antichrist spirit, amen? Because they're against the anointing. They're against the truth. They're against the things and the move of God. And the Antichrist spirit is becoming more and more overwhelming and demanding now than ever. And we must be very, very careful. And there is a way of overcoming the Antichrist spirit. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Would you read it with me, please? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, little children, it is the what? Are we in the last hours? Hello? And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. What he's saying is the Antichrist spirits, which are coming against the move of God, which Antichrist, in other words, they are coming against the anointing. They want to try to disqualify the anointing in you. It said, is the last hour, many will come out. In other words, your fight now is more with the Antichrist spirits than ever. They went out from where? From us. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made what? Manifest or exposed, that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from who? The Holy One, and you know all things. So if you know all things, is that going to allow you to overcome? Amen. So understand that the only way to overcome the Antichrist spirit is by the anointing. It's not about religion. It's by the anointing. Does everybody get it? It's by the what? It's by the anointing. It says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the what? So obviously, he's writing to them, letting them know that they are being deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. He says, I've not written you because you don't know the truth. You do know the truth. And because you know the truth, you're being deceived. Why? Because you're not walking in the anointing. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is Christ? He is what? Antichrist, who denies the Father and the what? Son. So there are many who deny Jesus as being the anointed one and his anointing. They only know him as Son of God. Come on, let's grab hold of this. They only know Jesus as the Son of God. They don't know him as the anointed one. They don't know him that he is the anointing. See, Christ means the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty who came into the natural realm. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we are no longer to acknowledge Jesus in the flesh? Does everybody get this? See, this is what separates religion from relationship. So many people only know Jesus as the Son of God, but they don't know him as the anointed one. because they only look carnally. They look at an outward literal state, not an eternal state, because they're not cooperating with the anointing that's trying to tell them and show them all things. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. I want you to understand that in this scripture, it's not just about the Son of God. It's about that the Son is the anointed one. He is the eternal God Almighty who came into the natural realm. How many people only acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, never God? He's only the Son. That's an antichrist spirit. Why? Because Jesus is God. The Bible even says that he would come. He'd be born of a virgin birth. And verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son. When he speaks of abiding in the Son, he's saying abiding in the anointing. This is not just abiding in some carnal Jesus. This is abiding in the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, of who he is. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. Try to what? Deceive you. Deceive you. Deceive you. Try to make this something common, not eternal. See, religiosity always tries to make it carnality. It doesn't make things eternal. Oh, you have eternal life. Most people don't even really get it. Oh, you mean I'm going to live forever? Not like that. Thank God. We'd all go nuts. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you about another Jesus, the carnal Jesus, the religious Jesus. Does everybody got this? You see, he is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. He is God Almighty in a body. He says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you or reveal to you who Jesus really is if you're walking in the anointing. You won't see him as carnal Jesus. You'll see him as a glowing eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. He will be the anointed one that destroys all yoke of bondage, that the gates of hell cannot prevail. You can only overcome the spirit of Antichrist with the true Christ, the anointing. Because you know all things now. He tells you things to come. You walk in spirit, no longer in the flesh. You don't allow fear to dictate your decisions. You don't allow lack to dictate your decisions. You don't allow compromise, laziness to dictate your decisions. You allow the Spirit because he's God and you carry the fear of the Lord. And when you carry the fear of the Lord, that's associated with the anointing. Because when you lose the fear of the Lord, you have walked out of the anointing. Are you with me? But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in what? Him. I love the scripture because he reveals the anointing as a him. He's God. The anointing overcomes the Antichrist spirits. These are spirits. It overcomes the spirits of Satan's kingdom his theology, his deception, his attacks and battles that come against you. I want to say it again. The anointing overcomes the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirits, their kingdom, their theology, their deception, and their attacks. The only way you overcome the Antichrist spirits, their attacks, their deception, their kingdom, their theology, and their spirits is through the anointing, the pure, true anointing of Jesus Christ. When an individual becomes overtaken by the spirit of Antichrist, they fall out of divine order. Priorities are changed. You mean a believer can associate with the spirit of Antichrist? Of course. Who do you think he's after? It's the spirit of Antichrist. He's looking for those who carry the anointing. Because you know why? They fear those who are carrying the anointing. So they're going to come after you. That's why they're the Antichrist spirit. They're not looking for the other ones. They've got them bound already. They got them caught up in religiosity. They've already proclaimed to them another Jesus. They've got them right where they want them. But they don't want you near them. Are you listening? Because you carry the true, pure anointing that overcomes the Antichrist spirits. So when an individual is attached to an Antichrist spirit, the first thing that falls out of order is divine order. Priorities begin to change. The second thing that begins to happen, there is a lie to justify. There's the what? The lie to justify. Again, the first thing that begins to happen, a person falls out of divine order. Their priorities are changed. The second thing that begins to happen is they begin to lie to justify. The third thing that begins to happen is rebellion. Rebellion. They become rebellious to the divine authority. Authority that God has placed in their life, they become rebellious. They no longer can be submissive. And the Bible says, submit to God to what? Resist the devil. So if you can't submit to God, you cannot resist the devil. They become rebellious to divine authority. A divine authority. Authority that's been placed by God. And they can no longer be submissive. Is everybody okay? The fourth thing that happens is self becomes the idol. Self becomes the idol of their life because they cannot deny self, which is the first requirement to be called a disciple of Christ. Come on, are you listening? Again, the fourth thing is that self becomes an idol of their life. Self. Self becomes the idol of their life because they cannot deny self, which is the first requirement to be a disciple. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you must first what? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. The fifth thing. They become religious. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, the anointing, and the gifts. And the gifts are tools. They deny the power of Christ, the authority of Christ, the anointing, and the gifts. Because it's a what? Antichrist spirit that is trying to prevent the power, the authority, the anointing, and the gifts to be manifested. They become religious. They have a form of godliness but deny the power. And the sixth thing, I want to share with you that the Antichrist spirit is more prevalent and powerful now than ever. Because it's his last move. It's his last move to set up things. The sixth thing is an individual begins to lose, they lose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord has now been removed. The only fear they have is a fear of survival, because they become survival mode instead of surrender mode. Surrender mode is no longer prevalent. Is everybody okay? So the only way you can overcome the Antichrist spirits is through what? The anointing. And it's our responsibility to walk in the anointing. It's our responsibility to be filled with the Spirit. It's our responsibility to cooperate with the anointing. Go to 1 John chapter 5. And verse 18. Let's read it together. And we know that whoever is born of God does not what? Sin. The word sin means presence of evil. So who's truly ever born of the Spirit will discern, be sensitive to the presence of evil. They will not cooperate with it. See, the anointing exposes the presence of evil. That's why you depart. Because the word even says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is to what? Depart from evil. Why? Because you want to maintain the presence of God. And the anointing will always be sensitive to expose the presence of evil. Where there's sin manifesting, you will know, which is the presence of evil. But he who has been born of God keeps what? Himself. And the wicked one does not what? In other words, that individual isn't deceived. The wicked one doesn't touch them. Why? Did you ever touch a burner that's on high? Psst! Burns. Well, that's what the anointing does to a demon. When you are walking in the anointing, there's no fear. When you're walking in anointing, you don't give a hoot. You don't care about anything but pleasing Him. When you walk in the anointing, you become another person. When the anointing comes on you, you become that's why you must put on the anointing every day. You put on the full armor of God, you get filled with the Spirit, you touch the other side touches you. You make connection. The anointing comes on, you walk, and you don't care. And the demons know who you are. Because as a man thinks, so he is, and they know what you're thinking. So as you see yourself, that's what they see you as. If you see yourself as a wimp, they see you as a wimp. Hello? You must see yourself as Christ sees you. More than a conqueror. You can do all things through the anointing who strengthens you. If God be for me, who can be against me? In His name, I'll kick your butt. The anointing breaks the yoke. I carry the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of Goliath. Didn't do any good. Cut off his own head. What did David say? You come with a sword. It's like, come with somebody. Remember that old saying, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Oh, really? That was a lie from hell. The words hurt you more than the sticks and stones. I want to know who started that rhyme. Must have been some demon. Why? Because David showed up and said, you come with a sword and I come in the name of the Lord. His words outpowered Goliath's words. Because David was backed by the anointing. And the Antichrist spirit, Goliath, could not defeat David. David was anointed. Oh, glory. And verse 19. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us a what? How are we getting the understanding? Through the what? The anointing. Because we know all things. That we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true. In His Son Jesus, the Christ. And that word Christ means anointed one. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols. Why? Because idols are images. Images are idols. Idols. Any kind of an idol will interfere with the anointing. Are you listening? He said, keep yourselves from idols, things of the world. Keep yourself from idols. Those under the influence of the Antichrist spirits, again, lose the fear of God. They become ignorant of the presence of evil, and they become taken captive as slaves, losing understanding, sensitivity, and discernment of what is truth. They can't discern what is truth and what is lie. They're attaching themselves to Antichrist idols. How many of you know a person can be an idol? Now, what about a person that is always speaking against the anointing? They're an Antichrist idol. Do you understand that? That's why he said, be careful who you associate with. Believe me, there's a lot of religiosity and garbage out there. We must be careful not to associate with Antichrist idols. Let's go a little further. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How do you overcome the spirits of Antichrist? The anointing. Woohoo! 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's why people can't complete what God has asked them to start. They get attached again to the Antichrist spirits. And what's the Antichrist spirit going to do? Move you out of position. Why? Because it changes divine order. It changes priorities. Again, I want to share with you that the Antichrist spirit is going to come against you. It's why it's called anti-anointing. He does not want the anointing to flow through you. He'll do everything he can to convince you that you're religious. Well, my religion will save me. My belief system will save me. No, your relationship with the anointing is what's going to save you. Are you listening? See, it's not just a relationship with Jesus. He left us his name. Now we have a relationship with the anointing called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you go through the Holy Spirit to the Father. Hello? Because the Father became manifested through the Holy Spirit here. Call himself Son. But we no longer acknowledge him as Son. We acknowledge him as the anointed one with the anointing. And he's left his name that you and I can kick butt with his name because his name is anointed. That's why every knee shall bow to the name. Every tongue will confess to the name. There is no other name. But that name must be backed by the anointing. Are you listening? There's been many people named Jesus at that time, but there was only one that was backed by the anointing, because he was the anointed one. Oh, glory. Verse 1. Let's read it together. But know this, in that in the last days, what? Perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times right now? Man, you ain't seen nothing yet. But I'm telling you what, the anointing's going to carry you through. It's going to bring you all the way through. Brought Jesus all the way through. For men will be lovers of what? I mean, come on, that's the first thing he says. Why will be their lovers of themselves? Because of the Antichrist spirits. That's why he said there's going to be perilous times. Why? Because of the prevalent attack of the Antichrist spirits. The dominance of the Antichrist spirits. They are dominating humans. They dominate carnality. The only way that you can overcome, is through the anointing. Are you listening? Through what? The anointing. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. For men will be lovers of themselves. Why? Because they're out of divine position. They're out of divine order now. Priorities are changed. Lovers of what? Money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These are people attached to Antichrist spirits. Having a form of what? Godliness, but denying its power. And from such people do what? Turn away. Don't hang with them. Turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and make captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, led away with various lusts. They are always what? Learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the what? They're always learning and never able to come. Now, as Jannes and Jaspers resisted Moses, so do these also resist the what? The truth, because the anointing is truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, because only the anointing can take you further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Always learning, not able to walk or live in the anointing. Have you ever been around someone who started off good but then ended messed up? What took them out? Spirits of Antichrist. Why? Because they promote pride. They promote self. They get things out of divine order. Self. Survival. Fear. I'm not going to make it. I need to work more. I need to do this more. I need to do that more. I. See, because the Antichrist spirits put your focus on you. And now it's promoting fear. But the anointing puts the focus on the anointed one. And there is no fear. Because fear is bondage. And the anointing brings perfect love, would cast out all fear. Oh, you can pray in tongues. Oh, you can worship God and still be attached to the Antichrist spirit. Why? Because if you're out of divine order, priorities. Are you listening? Listen, the devil's not stupid. Lucifer was created with wisdom. He's the most cunning beast there is. And I want you to understand it says beast. Why? Because beast represents kingdoms. Lucifer has a kingdom known as the beast kingdom. That's why when you read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the beast that came from here and the beast that did. These are associated with kingdoms. One died, it's because one was revived. These are kingdoms. Not individuals, kingdoms. Always learning and not able to walk and live in the anointing because of the attachment of the Antichrist spirits that promote religiosity and self. Fear. And they lose the fear of the Lord. That's why they do things behind closed doors. They're attached to an Antichrist spirit. They become very soulish. I want to say soulish because the only thing that they're led by is how they feel. Well, it don't feel right. Let me tell you, people that are led by how they feel are the most dangerous people on this planet. Because you never know when they're going to turn on you. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. In verse 16, let's read it together. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit. When you see walking in the Spirit, he's saying walk in anointing. Walk in the anointing. I say then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the what? The flesh. In other words, you won't fulfill. Now wait a minute. If you're walking in the anointing, you will not fulfill the what? It says lust of the flesh, but what's promoting the lust of the flesh to try to disqualify you from walking in the anointing? Antichrist spirits. Why? Because it's only the anointing that can overcome the Antichrist spirits. So walk in the anointing and you will not fulfill the lust of the Antichrist spirits. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Why? Because the Antichrist spirits are trying to combat the anointing, the Christ. For the lust of the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, that you desire, that the flesh desires, that you're being impressed by the Antichrist spirits. Because, see, remember, they will cause you to come against the anointing. Anybody ever been moved by the Antichrist spirit? Every one of us. We're all guilty of it. Every one of us has been moved by the Antichrist spirit in one way or another. But the whole thing is the anointing is going to reveal that you're being moved by the Antichrist spirit. And you're going to turn around and pow! You're not going to run to the phone. You're going to run to the throne. And you're going to pull the sword out and cut the head off of that demon. You're not going to sit there and try and calculate. Man, if you're being messed with, you're being messed by a demon. And they love to mess all over you. Don't try and calculate which one it is. Cut its head off. Then you can find out. They'll leave their mark. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you're walking in anointing, you're not under the law. You're not under the bondage. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanliness. Lewdness. Idolatry. That's idols. Sorcery. Drugs. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like it, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why won't they inherit the kingdom of God? Because they're associated with what? Antichrist spirit. Is any Antichrist spirit going to enter the kingdom of God? No, it's impossible. So if you're associating with them, practicing what they're doing, then neither will you. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the anointing, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, if they are walking in the anointing, living in the anointing, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires of fear and want. If we live in the anointing or the Spirit, let us also walk in it. Hello. If you're living in an anointing, what's he saying? Now cooperate with it. Let us not become what? Conceited, prideful, or provoking one another, envying one another. Live and walk in the anointing. Has everybody got it? The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. So when you are attached to an antichrist spirit, you will immediately realize you're in bondage. Bondage is fear. Doesn't the Bible say don't worry? In fact, the Bible even says worry is sin. Sin means presence of evil. If you're worrying, you're associated with the presence of evil. Why? Because you're being attached to the spirit of antichrist. And he's trying to mess with you. And the only way to overcome it is to recognize the anointing in you. Wait a minute, I'm anointed. I have an inheritance of dominion, power, and authority. I'm going to turn around and slap the bejeebies out of this demon. That's it, I had it. Get out of my house, get out of my mind, get out of my thoughts, get out of my dreams. And take your fear with you. Shut the door. Make no place for the devil. Making place for the Antichrist spirit. That's what he's trying to do right now. He's trying to squeeze in. Again, this is what we're being attacked with. What's happening all over the world right now? What's being promoted? Fear. Fear. And what's the major thing promoting fear? Come on, what's the major thing promoting fear? Okay, money, that's a part of it. How about terrorism? Think about it. People all over the world are being afraid. Fear. People are afraid to die. And then those who are willing to give their life up for demons and wake up in hell because they have no love. They have hatred. Acts 17. Acts 17. Hallelujah. And verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. Let's read this together. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus, and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very what? You are very religious. In other words, man, you guys are worshiping idols. For as I was passing through and considering the what? Objects, or what we call images, or idols of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. The one that doesn't have an idol there. That's the one I want to declare to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Those are called idols. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or what? Stone. Gold, silver, or stone. Something shaped by art and men's devising. Truly, these times of stupidity or ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he has appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So what was revealed to here was religious idols, images. I want you to know that Satan always sets himself up as an image or an idol first. He always sets himself up as an idol. Go to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 and verse 1. Religious idols, images. Satan loves to set them up. That's how he gets people deceived. In verse 1 it says what? "You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image, nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God." Again, idols. He says images, which are idols, carved things, and stones. "You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in the season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Their threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land," where? Safely. "I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil, beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you." Why do you think so many nations are in such trouble? Because they worship idols. Think about that. All of these nations that are so impoverished and so destitute because they worship idols. Look at Haiti. Look at that poor country. Look at what happened to Japan. Go to Cambodia, see what's going on there. Go to the Middle East and look what's going on in the Middle East. The only thing that's providing for the Middle East is oil, because Satan runs the oil. But only those who are associated and attached to the oil industry and the families working for them are wealthy. Everybody else, there's war. They're fighting amongst one another. People are impoverished, starving to death, sitting on the most wealthy thing that there is in the planet, oil. And people are starving all around them. Why individuals build their own empires and turn their backs to those who are hungry? Because they worship idols. Idol worshipers. Go to Acts 19. "This country has been blessed exceedingly, but because idols have been established, it's beginning to lose its blessings." The only thing that still keeps this country blessed is the body of Christ here. If the body of Christ was moved from this country, she'd be destitute just like the rest of the world in certain places. But right now, the spirit of Antichrist are filtering all over globally. the military of the Antichrist, the religion of the Antichrist, the government of the Antichrist, trying to promote one world order, is filtering globally. In Acts 19, in verse 24, is everybody there? In verse 24, let's read it together. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana. Now, I want you to know that the word Diana also means Artemis. Is everybody with me? Okay. And brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of a similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade." In other words, making idols. "Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, which are made with hands." So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. So you must understand that this is the global worship. People have been worshiping this Diana. And this Diana has been placed in temples. All right, now hold on to that. "Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.' So the whole city, filled with confusion, and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Artemas, Macedonians, Paul's traveling companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians,'" because they knew he was a Jew and he was a believer. "When the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, 'Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the what? Is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana.'" So in other words, there was a temple there. And it was a guardian. Now look it. "And of the what? Image which fell down from Zeus." Zeus, mythical. Think about this. Zeus. "Which fell down from..." So something fell down from heaven. And they began to worship it. So everybody got this. "And what they did is they took what fell down from heaven and built a temple around it. And they began to worship it." Now, this is so powerful because, again, Satan sets up idols of worship to himself until he will come into the flesh as a human, as the true Antichrist. Amen? Satan himself. "What was worshipped was not a statue, but a black stone." Are you listening? "Artemis," or the Diana images or idols, "which fell from heaven, was what they called a..." It was supposedly a form of a meteorite or a star that fell from heaven. And it was a stone. It was an image. And it's wild because didn't Jesus say to the disciples, "And I saw" who? "Satan fall from heaven like a" what? "Lightning." Now, This meteorite stone image is also in Mecca, which Allah commanded all Muslims to bow and prostrate themselves 7 times a day during their 5 daily prayers. The temple is called a Kaaba. It is the temple that encases the black stone in Mecca. Come on, are you grabbing hold of this? Mecca is the holiest city of Muslims in Saudi Arabia. It's also known as the black stone of Aphrodite. Clearly the image of Satan. Again, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Aphrodite is the feminine name or feminine root name called Alat, A-L-L-A-T, which is the feminine name of Allah. Is everybody okay? Go to Nehemiah 2. You know, you think about how many kings in the Old Testament set idols up of themselves and caused people to stumble. Nebuchadnezzar. Many. Even Gideon set up a statue of himself and caused people to stumble. Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 2. Again, I want to remind you about how the spirits of Antichrist begin to set up idols, images, where people begin to worship them and not even realize what's going on. In verse 11, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "So Nehemiah said, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one which I had rode. And I went out by the night through the valley of gate to the serpent well and refuge gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that had spoken to me. So they let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. So I want you to know that these individuals stood up against them. All right? And the reason why we're here is because Sanballat, there's... in this name, there's 2 derivatives. The first one is called San Sin, or San, meaning moon god. And the second one is called Bakat, or Alat, which is Aphrodite, in representation of the female of Allah, the female gender. Amen? And these two coming together in this name, representing the moon god of Alat, or Allah, opposing the building of the temple wall. Is that still happening now? Are you seeing this connection? Because what are they doing? They're still opposing, even in Jerusalem, to build the temple. They are the main obstacle to building the temple, aren't they? Now, in Mecca, where Muslims go every year, it's called Hajjah or Haj, something. It's an Islamic ritual. All Muslims once a year go to Mecca to the Kaaba, where the black stone is, and they walk around it seven times. They touch it or they point at it and hope that their sins are removed. So that the stone now becomes their redeemer. Another blasphemous action toward the true redeemer. It is their holy month of Ramadan. That whole month, they come from all over the world. 1.3 billion Muslims to walk around this thing and point to it. That same black rock that fell, that meteorite, that's in the encased temple called the Kaaba in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. It is an idol. It represents itself as Satan who fell from heaven. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Are you learning something? Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, "For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you and plunder the beasts which made them afraid. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city, and of all who dwell in it. What profit is the what?" Is everybody with me? What profit is the what? Image or idol that its maker should what? Carve it. They molded the molded image a teacher of what? Lies. That the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says, "Wood, awake. To silent stone, arise. It shall teach." Now I want you to grab hold of it because it's a, he's talking about a silent stone. He's saying, "Arise and it shall teach." Because this is a reference to, in the book of Revelation, about the beast that will come alive. Are you listening? One that was dead. It's talking about a kingdom. This kingdom is all associated. These beast kingdoms are associated with Islamic religion. "Woe to him who says these things. Behold, it will overlay with gold and silver, yet it is there is no breath at all." Go to Revelation 20. In other words, woe to those who worship this image or these idols. Revelation chapter 20. Do we need to know this? Amen. How else are you going to get a Muslim saved? You know, they are the descendants of Ishmael. And we're to be prepared, ready in season and out. These things we need to know. Not only for ourselves, for what's coming, but know what the spirit of Antichrist is doing. And because you know that you can only overcome the Antichrist with the anointing. In verse 4, Revelation 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded." Who beheads? What religion beheads? Muslim. I don't know of any other one. "For their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the" what? Okay, now grab hold of this. "There is the beast" or his what? "His image, nor have received his mark." Three things. The beast, the image, and the mark. They are all idols, aren't they? And who not receive his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The beast is a satanic kingdom. It's Islamic kingdom. It's Satan's kingdom. It's called the beast kingdom. We'll talk more about this later. The image are the idols known as the moon god or the black stone or the crescent moon with the star. And the mark on the forehead or the arms are the banners or the bandanas that are worn. These are badges. And even the Bible talks about, and to know his name, which is 666. And in this, it means chai, sai. Anyways, I'll spell it for you. The first part is C-H-I. The second part is X-I. And the third part is S-T-I-G-M-A. And in Arabic, it means Bish Mahal or Bas Malaha. This is Arabic. And that word in Arabic means in the name of Allah. It is another blasphemous. Did you ever notice that if you see on TV all things uprising, what are they wearing? Bandanas. What does it say? In the name of Allah. There's risks. Now, everybody's looking for a 666. I don't think you're going to see a 666. Six meaning man. It means the arena of one world order, one world religion, and one world economy. But in this 666, it seems all of this in the name of Allah because they are the Antichrist religion. They are the Antichrist military. They are the Antichrist government. And they promote every one of these things is associated with idols. Okay, I'm going to close at Matthew 16. Overcoming the Antichrist spirits. How are you going to overcome them? With the anointing. Matthew 16 and verse 13. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
"Oh, you're just the Son of God."
No. And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the what?" Gosh, do you get that? He didn't say you're the Son of God. He said, "You're the what? The Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the one who is the eternal presence, power, and truth. You're God Almighty." Jesus answered and said to them, "Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, he got revelation. "And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this what? On this what? Rock." It ain't a black rock. This rock means on the anointing. Now you have to go back to when Moses, when the Lord said, "Strike the rock and the water will flow." Representation and anointing. Then what did he say to him? "Speak to the rock," because it'd be associated with the ministry of the Spirit, which means spoke, breath. See, there was two covenants. They're associated with the rock. It means the anointing. And on the revelation that I am the anointed one, that I am the presence, eternal power, and truth of God Almighty, on that revelation, on that rock, what's he going to do? He's going to what? "And this rock, I will build my church." It wasn't a physical rock. Do you understand that? "And the gates of hell shall what? Not prevail against it." In other words, I will build my church on the anointing, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because you're going to need the anointing to come against the Antichrist spirits. "And I will give you the what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven," not the keys of the beast. We don't need those. We have the keys of the heaven, the eternal realm, third dimensional weapons to kick butt on the Antichrist spirits. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In other words, you will have access now. Why? Because you will have access because you're backed by the anointing. Has everybody got this? See, that's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. Listen, without the anointing, you're nothing but a farmer. You plant seed and you wait for a harvest. That's a seed. Okay, hopefully somebody will grab hold of it and get saved. Praise God. But when you're backed by the anointing, it is now the sword of the Spirit. You're a warrior. Jesus didn't do anything. He was the Word who became flesh and didn't do nothing until the anointing came. Then he was backed by heaven. You are backed by heaven. And the Antichrist spirits want to nullify, get you to move out of walking in the anointing. They want to promote religiosity. They want to keep you bound by religion. Keep you bound to yourself. They want to deny the power of God, which is the anointing. They want you to have a relationship with what is written instead of who wrote it. Jesus said, you search the scriptures thinking you have salvation, but you won't come to me to get it. He was right in front of them. He wept because they missed his visitation. They got so caught up in religiosity. They were more concerned in how they looked. They began to control people. Saul was bound by Antichrist spirits. That's why he went around killing those who were under the anointing. But they gave their lives. Children, everything, families. He went out to kill until the anointed one revealed himself to him and slapped him. Kicked him right off his horse. And revealed himself to him. Then Paul was blinded. Saul, who became Paul, blinded for 3 days. God put him on a 3-day fast and wouldn't let him associate with the natural realm. And then Ananias went over there and laid hands on him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. The scales came off. Now he was backed by heaven. He got rid of the Antichrist spirits that bound him to religiosity and pride and arrogance, self-promotion and selfishness. See, the Antichrist spirits think they kill for God. That's what Saul thought. He thought he was killing for God. But he was actually killing for Satan, not knowing it. Saul became an idol to himself. That's why he said, I count it all as dung, everything I've ever learned, that I have now learned the anointing of Christ. The anointing teaches you. The anointing guides you. The anointing will show you things to come. The anointing is God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the breath of God. And the only way you can overcome the Antichrist spirits is with the pure anointing that God has granted to me and you through the baptism and infilling of the Holy Spirit. Use those weapons. Don't let the devil deceive you and bind you to the Antichrist spirits. The only way you overcome is through the anointing. Come on, you see how many believers that are claiming to be believers all over the world? All over the world. But yet, you know what? They're putting people in office that promote abortions. They're putting people in office that promote same-sex marriage. Why? Because they're associated with the Antichrist spirits claiming to be believers. But they're not backed by the anointing. They're backed by hell. Or they wouldn't be doing such things. So let's get filled. Let's stay filled. Let's walk and live in the anointing and cooperate with the anointed one and his anointing. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, continue to expose those Antichrist spirits to us, that we can cut their heads off and sever ourselves from them, that we may walk in the pure anointing of your love, your power, your truth, and your presence in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Be blessed.